On Saturdays, we would be expected to go to confession and tell the priest what we did bad that week. We would stand in a long line waiting and whispering among ourselves what we were going to make up so we could quickly say our rosary and go home. It was learned behavior, and that's what it was every Sunday. This went on until my teenage years. My mom started traveling with my dad, who was a salesman. A father's role in a girl's life is important. Dads give a girl a sense of identity, belonging, acceptance, and love. My heart was after love, but I looked to the wrong sources to find it. I began to pretend that I lived in a grown-up world of love, beauty, romance, lust, and sin, long before I really knew what any of those things were. When the line between fantasy and reality became blurred, no one was there to guide me, to show me what was right, because my dad and mom were not around. At the age of 17, I thought I had met Mr. Right. He represented security to me. He was 21 and attending Colorado State University. It wasn't long I became pregnant. He had been arrested on a drug charge, and our future seemed very dismal. In those days, you had a shotgun wedding. So we did. We got married. He had come from a Christian home and realized both of us needed help. We were brought to our knees in prayer, asking the Lord to forgive us for the sins we had committed and asked him into our lives. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to God, he can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away. I told him my sins, and I am sorry for them. We moved to Denver and lived with his parents for 1 year. He worked, and I stayed at home with his mom. She helped me grow in the Lord by attending Bible studies, having daily devotions, and just watching her in everyday life. I had a passion to please God. I wanted to honor him, and I began my Christian walk with the desire of living in such a way that would be pleasing to him. I realized God offered only one way for me to be forgiven of my sins when he came to the earth, went to the cross, and died in my place. I could not contribute anything. Christ did it all for me. Our first son was stillborn. That was really a sad time. I remembered reading in Revelation 21:4, though, said, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. I believe the Lord knew I was not ready to be a mom, needing more time to grow in maturity, spirituality, emotionally and physically. I professed my faith in Christ and was immersed in baptism at the age of 19 in front of the First Baptist Church congregation in Fort Collins, Colorado. We moved to Inglewood, Colorado, where my husband attended seminary. I went to work full-time and also helped him with Hebrew and Greek flashcards and typed many, many papers. But he did not graduate from seminary. I had been anxious, thinking God was going to put us in the worst foreign country imaginable, but oh me of little faith. But Robert wasn't ready either to give his life to the Lord. So we moved to Wyoming and began a new direction from God. Joshua was born on our 8th anniversary, and what a blessing. I was ready for children. By the time the other 3 kids came along, we were living in Shoshone. A pastor moved to town and did a church plant. It became the First Baptist Church of Shoshone. I volunteered to clean the church and taught Sunday school, and all 4 children were dedicated to the Lord at an early age. Even though I was doing all the right things by caring and nurturing for our children, submitting to my husband, involved in church, kind of sounds like I was reverting back to Catholicism, but I started noticing significant personality and behavioral changes in my husband. Here was a man who led me to Christ, was my cornerstone, my idol. That was a big mistake. Christ is the chief cornerstone, not man. One day, my husband came home and told me he quit his job, and it was my turn to go to work and support the family. I was shocked and also scared. I had a babysitting service in my home already. Wasn't that good enough? But as an obedient and codependent wife, I did obtain a job, and our relationship became more and more dysfunctional. I was having a difficult time believing that God was going to answer my prayers. I became faint-hearted, struggled in regard to faith in God, and I was struggling with the true meaning of submission that was in God's Word. After a couple of years of counseling and outside influence, I divorced my husband. Psalms 139:1-4 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Jesus knows me better than I know myself. It was no surprise to him when I failed. I fully realize how my sins have impacted my family and how sorrowful I am for the willful choices I have made along the way. It is the goodness of God that leads me to repentance and reconciliation. It is Christ Himself coming into my life and changing me to be more like Him on a daily basis. Micaiah 7:18 says, Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. I am humbly thankful for God granting me mercy and pardon because I stand in grace and my salvation is from the Lord. He is the Lord of my life. And I married Harry, and he has become my best friend and soulmate. And I am truly thankful for him. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. But through the grace of God and every day just asking for him to help me in my daily life, you know, I am thankful for him. That is it.
You may have to turn that down. I don't speak a little louder than the ladies. That's true. You're very observant. Okay. This is my spiritual history. I have it subdivided into ages and dates. The ages are first, the dates are later. That way nobody knows how old I am. From age 0 through age 10, I was baptized as an infant, but I have no recollection, and it was meaningless to me. I have no recollection of church attendance either or spiritual guidance during this period of my life. From age 10 to 14, my family moved to Edgemont, South Dakota. My parents were called to be a deacon and deaconess at a Christian church there. Our family regularly attended church, and I distinctly remember attending Vacation Bible School in the summer. I also remember making the following analogy during one of the VBS sessions. The pastor was comparing the physical church building to the universal church or family of God, and the analogy I made was that that's like comparing a house to a home. And I still remember that to this day because he thought it was insightful, I guess, and a good analogy. From age 14 to 47, my life can best be described as an unchurched heathen. I was successful in business by the measure of dollars, and we all know where that leads us. However, a failure and sinner in many other aspects of my life. I was divorced in 1991. I have my former wife and I raised two unchurched daughters. I was subject to occasional drunkenness, use of foul language. I also had a lack of respect for people that I considered below my station, so to speak. I was filled with pride and selfishness in many aspects of my life. At age 47, I married Patty Gartrell. It was in 1995, and began regular church attendance with Patty and three of her children, Christopher, Zoe, and Jonathan. Patty and I also participated in adult Bible studies sponsored by our church. I began to clean up my language and started to understand Christianity and the gospel message. I also participated in a men's Bible study with Christian employees at my office. When I was 48, I believe it was in late summer of 1996, I was driving home from work and listening to Christian radio. Pastor Greg Laurie was the speaker, and at the end of his message, he had an altar call from the radio. That was the first time that I confessed that I am a sinner and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an emotional event for me, causing me to shed a few tears. My road to salvation can be summarized in 1 Peter 3, 1 to 2. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. In October of 1996, I began to notice changes in my life, and others noticed too. Shortly after my conversion, through the grace of God, I was in Riverton getting ready for a pack trip to hunt elk in the Shoshone Wilderness. While shopping at the Safeway store, I encountered Dwayne Verley's wife. Dwayne Verley was a retired highway patrolman whom I had instructed to fly hot air balloons. His wife and I shared some small talk, and then she said, "You're different. You've changed." I told her that I had confessed that I'm a sinner and accepted the Lord and was now a Christian. She said that must have caused the changes that she saw in me. From 1997 to 2000, Patty and I attended membership classes at our local church. Following completion of the membership classes, we were invited to meet with the elders to share our testimony. I flunked. The elders asked the pastor to have a follow-up meeting with me. During our meeting, I told him about the drive home and saying the sinner's prayer with Pastor Greg Laurie on the radio. I guess I froze during the elder meeting. I was intimidated. I was baptized in the East Gallatin River by Pastor Steve Mathewson. For several weeks, our local church had called congregation members to help paint the church building. I felt a calling to participate, but privately, I was hoping that something would come up that would cause me to be unavailable for the church painting project. As the painting day approached, I began to verbally express my desire to my family that I did not want to participate in the project. On the night before the big day, Patty and I were doing a home Bible study, and the verse for the day was Nehemiah 10:39. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine, and oil to the storerooms where the articles for the sanctuary are kept and where the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers stay. We will not neglect the house of our God. Following that reading, I announced that the Lord wants me to help paint the church, which I did. It was a great time of fellowship. July of 2000. One day, while working out at a local club over lunch hour, Patty suffered a severe hemorrhagic stroke. I was notified immediately and took her to the emergency room. After the ER doctors stabilized her, she was flown to Billings. There was no room for me on the plane, so I had to drive to Billings. That still seems like the longest road trip I have ever taken, even though it's only 144 miles. My mind was racing about all of the impacts Patty's stroke might have both on her family and her health. Finally, I decided to turn the matter over to the Lord, always Patty's advice for any adversity. When I arrived in Billings, Patty was paralyzed on the left side of her body, but the neurologist was optimistic about the potential for a recovery due to her age and overall excellent physical condition. Patty was hospitalized for over a month. One day, while I was visiting her, she became frustrated because she could not perform the simple task of combing her hair. After my visit, I had to drive to Wyoming for some client meetings. As I passed Sheridan, Wyoming, I was listening to a Christian radio station, and the message was on 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The Holy Spirit was still at work in me. I told this to Patty that evening, and she found comfort in that message and the timing of it. Then through 2005, I continued regular church and Bible study attendance and continued to grow in the Word. I was discipled by a very mature Christian man from our church, but I didn't even recognize it at the time. He was our Bible study leader, and he also took me under his Christian wing through hunting trips and helping me with some of my hobby farm chores. In 2005, Patty and I moved to Thermopolis in the spring. We began attending the First Baptist Church. I became a friend of the pastor there and continued to grow in the Word through regular church and Bible study attendance. In 2007, Patty and I were called to participate in an E-Free church plant, which did not mature into a functioning church. We continued Bible studies with that core church plant group. This eventually led to the Bible studies which the Lord used in part to plant SGBC. What about now? Our pastor quoted John Newton this morning, so I guess I can too. Many years ago, John Newton penned, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I see. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace." Amen.
To do that.